Sue.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Sue, your joyful wellness guru on Blog Talk Radio this morning. It is Friday morning, so I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend planned. And shortly we should have with us Dr. Yalila Espinoza. Let me tell you who she is. She is an intimacy coach for workaholics. She's Dr. Yalila Espinoza. And she is for workaholics who want to leap into love. For the last 15 years, she's been guiding seekers to make practical life changes so their desires can become a reality. So if you want to look her up, she's at yalila.com. It's Y-A-L-I-L-A. I hope she'll be with us very, very shortly. I didn't give her a reminder call. I'm sorry about that. I will do so and have her on again next time or in a couple weeks if she's not on with us very shortly. My name is Sue, your joyful wellness guru, and it is Friday. Wonderful Friday morning, as I said before. Now, if you want to know a little bit about me, stick around. I'm about to tell you. I found out in a very big way just recently that there's no single one way to go about doing a thing. There are many, many ways to go about getting something done. If one way doesn't work for you, find something else. It's where we get that old expression, there's more than one way to skin a cat. That expression came into being for a reason. It sounds cruel and awful, and it's not my idea of fun. I'd never go out and actually skin a cat, but, you know, all that aside, I found out that public charter schools here in town near you, they're one way to go, but they're just one way to get your children educated. So keep that in mind. That it works for a lot of children, because we're not all self-starters and self-motivated and self-directed. A lot of children really need to be in the school with a teacher every day and then come home and have homework for hours on end, possibly. You never know how much homework your kid is going to get. In the higher grades, it's obviously a lot more these days because the powers that be have been tinkering with the core curriculum standards. And so, you know, things have changed a lot, and I don't think for the better in terms of the amount of homework that's been given, or that is being given to sixth graders and above. I much preferred the old way when our kids came home and they had maybe half an hour of homework at the most, and, I think there was a good reason for that. I think that's because kids had learned enough in class. They had been given all the tutoring and help they needed in class. They had gone over everything they needed to go over, and teacher had seen to it in class that they were understanding the material, and the homework that they brought home was just to reinforce the learning and remind them of what they had learned that day already. But then my son hit sixth grade, and he started coming home about 3:30 in the afternoon most days. Wednesdays were shorter, of course. And from that moment on, except for half an hour when he stopped for a snack and another half hour when he stopped for dinner with us, he was doing just homework until 10 at night. This was past his bedtime. And it was not leaving him time for a guitar lesson during the week or karate lesson during the week. And those things don't take much time out of your week. It wasn't leaving him time for family and friends. It wasn't leaving him time for anything but homework. He didn't have time to help me feed the dogs or do his usual chores. All he had time for was homework. And when I tried talking to the school about it, they told me, very rightly, that their hands were pretty much tied. They were under orders to teach this way, to use this methodology, and to give this much homework each day. And, you know, I really felt that it was unnecessary. Even if their hands were tied, You know, there was, I didn't have to stand for it. I could find a better way for my family and my son. And so that is exactly what I did. I didn't like what we were getting where we were. I wasn't just going to sit around and complain another four times. I had already complained four times, and I realized that nothing was going to come of complaining. So we had to change something at our end. What we changed, what I changed, was Cody's school, the school that he's going to. The school that he's going to now uses a completely different methodology. It is called the pivot school, like pivoting around on one foot in a circle. It's the pivot school, and their methodology is one of blended learning. They do a lot of online education, and I've seen what my son has just started doing. He just started with it last night, actually. And the computer program talks to him in this pleasant lady's voice, and she sounds enthusiastic about the learning. So he's enthusiastic about the learning. And the math isn't the new math. It's not all unnecessarily complicated. It's all very straightforward stuff. And he's learning Roman numerals right now, and he's excited to be learning them. And he's excited about learning again where he was becoming depressed and no longer excited about learning at his old school. We are in the old Adobe Union School District, but not anymore with the Pivot School. We were before we moved Cody. And as I emailed to old Adobe School, I was actually the driving force behind this decision to move Cody. My husband was so busy with his own work that even though he was very concerned with the situation as it was, he felt that it was going to be better if he just took time out of his work, out of his own work schedule each day to help Cody a little bit with homework that was overly complicated and overly abundant. And he was willing to take that on because I'm not very good with homework. I'm not a very good teacher for my son when it comes to homework. But my husband was willing to take time out of his own work schedule to be the teacher when our son, we thought, already had had teachers at school, and we felt that this had been, you know, supposedly their job to be teaching our son, rather than us having to go on with teaching our son when he came home and when we had other work we had to be finishing up at home so that we could make dinner and enjoy dinner and family time with our son. That just did not feel to us to be the time for piles and piles of homework. It's okay, you know, a little bit, a half hour to an hour of homework. We felt that was fine and more than enough. And, you know, homework has been the traditional way for a very long time. You go to school, you come home, you bring homework. And very often in our workaholic society, we do the same sort of thing. We come home from work and we bring work home with us. And also very often, we don't leave the home. We don't have to leave home anymore to do work. So work is always there. And we have to then make a point of leaving the room and closing the door and leaving the computer behind so that we can enjoy a nice family dinner time with our family. And because otherwise we create no separation. It's like the separation between church and state. It really needs to be there. Separation between work life and family life. And what my husband does is he goes into his office in our house and he closes the doors. And when he closes the doors, that's the signal to me and Cody that we need to leave him alone because he's at work. And when he opens those doors, he comes out, he comes down to have dinner. He is no longer at work. Even though work is still in the house and it can kind of follow him everywhere and he has to go right back to work in his office the minute dinner is over usually, he can close the door. Not everybody is able to close the door on work and separate work and family life the way it's very difficult sometimes to separate church and state, and that's that's another soapbox for me. I'm very adamant that church and state should be kept separate. Anyway, before I go off on that tangent, I'll get back to what I was saying. We are, when we give our children piles and piles of homework that they really don't need after school, they come home with it, we're turning them into sixth grade workaholics or fifth grade workaholics or however young they are. And our society doesn't really need more workaholics. We have enough workaholics in our society. It's really kind of a symptom of a disease or a disease in and of itself. We come home and we can't catch a break from work, so, you know, we might start drinking or abusing our families or abusing substances in order to give ourselves the little mental vacation that we need. And these are obviously not good solutions to our own workaholism and our own lack of paid vacations and sick leaves. And because our employers, our large company employers, CEOs, have for a very long time to hire part-timers so that they don't have to give benefits, benefit packages, and time and overtime pay. They would rather hire part-time workers so they don't have to pay as much. And what happens is those part-time workers have to get many, many jobs, and even full-time workers have to get many, many jobs because they can't afford not to. So they go out and they work a day shift in one place and a night shift in another place, and that really cuts into their family time. They have very little family time. Maybe when they come home, the kids are already asleep. Maybe they want to see the kids, and so they wake the kids up to see them, and the kids don't get the sleep they need to get, you know, through another day of school the next day. Or maybe the kids only get to see their parents in the mornings for 5 minutes, and this is not a society that's supportive of families. And families are really the root of society. Society is made up of people. It is not made up of large corporations. And large corporations should not have the voting power of a person. They should not have the legal rights of a person, because large corporations are made up for the sole purpose of lining the pockets of the CEOs. Now, there are some that are really good to their employees, like Costco. Costco is really, really good. They have a great benefits plan. They're great to their employees. Walmart, not so much. They are starting to advertise that they're treating their employees very well. That's because they're scared that they're losing money, because word has gotten out that they don't treat their employees well. That's the truth. They actually don't treat their employees well. their employees very often, kind of hit the low average in terms of just being able to afford the basic necessities of life, and sometimes they can't. And this is because of corporate greed. And if you haven't yet seen a film called The High Cost of Low Price, I believe that's what it's called, please go out and look for that film and watch at least a little of it, because it will give you the truth about Walmart and large corporations like Walmart. They caught tax breaks for having work shipped out, for shipping out work overseas. So they were having things assembled overseas and then brought back here to sell them, because it was cheaper to have them assembled overseas. They were able to pay less to overseas workers who would assemble these items and then send them back to us to sell them here, so we could sell them for pennies on the dollar, and the CEOs could get rich doing that. And they those profits, those extra profits, didn't trickle down to their employees, and they didn't go into making their parking lot safer at night. or much of anything else that was community oriented. So they really didn't do a lot of good for the communities in which they plunked down their big chain of box stores. What they did do was to push a lot of mom-and-pop businesses out of business, and they had the money to hire big lawyers who could get them permits that wouldn't otherwise have been forthcoming to build in places where they shouldn't have been able to put down a store because they were pushing mom-and-pop businesses out of business, and they were plunking down a store right near a waterway, and then they would put their garden center right near that little river or creek through the town, and the soil would fall into that waterway and pollute it with bad things because their soils often had strange fertilizers and pesticides in them. There was somebody who fought that at one point with lawyers, and that was because they had written several letters to Walmart that had not gotten much of a reply, and they had even talked to the manager, and they had gone to the manager's manager and supervisors, and nothing happened, and then Walmart said, oh yes, we'll do something about it, and they did not do anything much about it except maybe move the big bags of soil just a couple of feet away from the waterway. And so this person went to lawyers, and the lawyers managed to finally get something done about the garden center that was polluting the waterway. So that's kind of the way Walmart and other big box chain companies operate. They're very greedy and not philanthropic. Costco is different, though. Take a look at Costco and ask their employees anything you want. Costco really takes care of their employees, and they're a huge, huge business. They still manage to make a good profit and keep lots and lots of variety in their store. So that's my little soapbox for today. I'll get off that now. If you ever want to call in and refute anything I'm saying, that's perfectly fine. You can always call in and make a comment or ask a question. Ask me where I'm getting my information. That number is 347-677-1860. I'm happy to hear your facts. If you have facts that are different from mine, I'll say, oh, excuse me, I stand corrected, and we'll go over it again and get it right for our listeners. That number is 347-677-1860. Happy to have your help explaining anything that I've, gotten wrong here or not quite filled in all the gaps. I'm happy to hear it. 347-677-1860. This is Sue, your Joyful Wellness Guru, with 10 minutes left in the show. And happy to have you all here today, Friday. Hope you're all planning a wonderful, wonderful weekend, as I said before, because, again, the fun doesn't just happen. You have to make it happen. Anything that you invest time and energy into is going to be a thing that gives back in the end. If you were to stop brushing your teeth, I can't recommend that, but if you were to stop brushing your teeth, even just for a few days, you would not be a happy camper. Your mouth would start to stink, and people around you wouldn't want to be around you so closely anymore, and so you're not investing that time and energy into just brushing your teeth a couple times a day. And eventually, if you do that for long enough, if you don't invest a little bit of time and energy in your teeth every day for, say, a month, eventually you're going to start getting cavities. And so that lack of investment is going to pay you back in a big way in terms of just your teeth rotting right out of your head. If you invest a little bit of time and energy in your teeth, that's not going to happen. If you invest a little bit of time and energy in your business is going to improve. If you invest a little bit of time and energy each day into your home life is going to improve that little bit every day. These are investments that will pay you back big time. I'm not talking about portfolio investments, although you can see them exactly the same way, stock market portfolio investments. You know, if you invest nothing into a stock market portfolio, obviously you will get nothing back. You have to play the game in order to win. It's the same with every other aspect of your life that you can name. Invest a little bit in it, and that little bit is going to come back to you a hundredfold later on. I can just about guarantee it. So if something is important to you, it's not going to improve unless you invest in it. You have to invest in it for the situation to improve. Every situation can be improved, and every situation can be improved with a minor investment of your time and energy. So invest some of that time and energy into having fun, and into having fun with your family, and into having fun with the people who are important to you, and into invest some of your time and energy into yourself, into some downtime. Sit around and dream for a while. Dream for about half an hour, you know, a few times a week if you can afford the time. And if you can't afford the time, make the time. I guarantee you, you can afford the time, whether you think you can or not. The time is there. You just have to make it and take it. You have to put it on your calendar. It won't happen. Everything that gets on the calendar gets done. Everything that's not on the calendar doesn't tend to get done. So if it's important, put it on your calendar and do it. Invest the time and energy to put it on your calendar. Invest the time and energy to do it. If it's important to you and you do that, you'll get results. If you don't get results, call me. We'll figure out why you're not getting results. If you're getting results, call me. We'll figure out why you got the results, and we'll tell everybody else, and we'll congratulate you, because everybody deserves that pat on the back when something goes right. It's very exciting when some one little thing goes right in our lives, isn't it? I love it when something goes right in my life. And I take the time to pat myself on the back, believe it or not. I take the time to enjoy it, and I take some time to rest on my laurels sometimes for a day or two. And I give myself a little bit of a break when I'm working on a big project, like enrolling my son in a different school, because the old school was frustrating me. It was not what I wanted, and they were not responding satisfactorily, but only because they couldn't. They were under orders to pile on the homework, to bury our kids alive under homework and crush their spirits completely with homework and take all the joy and fun out of learning for them. I wasn't about to have it, which is why I moved my son into a different school that teaches in a different way, because there is always another way. So remember that. There's always another way to get a thing done. There's always more that you can be doing. There's always something else, some other project in which to invest a little bit of your time. But is it the right project? Figure out which projects are important to you and why. Where do you really want to be in 5 years or in 10 years or in 50 years? And are these projects the ones that are going to get you there? Well, we can talk more on that maybe next time on my show. I am going to have lots and lots of wonderful people on my show, and I'm sure that a lot of them will have a lot to say on these topics that I've just covered today. I've covered a lot today, so take some time to assimilate it, please, and give me a call in next time if you have any questions or comments on anything I've said today. Let me know if you've enjoyed the show. The number is 347-677-1860. That's 347-677-1860. I'm Sue Hirsch, your Joyful Wellness Guru. Hopefully we'll have Yalila Espinoza on with us one time soon on a Monday or Friday. Catch me again on Monday. Let me let you know who's going to be on Monday. On Monday, we are going to have with us Linda Basso. She is a business coach, and she's absolutely great. I've heard her speak. She is not to be missed. She makes these really cool little cards. They're almost like oracle cards or tarot cards. The one that I brought home with me says, "Your marketing should be an extension of yourself." That's what it says on one side. On the other side, about that, in regards to your marketing should be an extension of yourself. It says, yes, there are rules, traditions, and best practices in marketing. However, how you market should only consider these in part. The larger consideration is that you're putting your messages out in ways that are in sync with who you are and what you value. Okay, so that's something to think about. If I have another couple minutes, I'll read it to you again. Yeah, I have 4 minutes. I want to read that to you again so you all catch it and can assimilate it really well. Yes, there are rules, traditions, and best practices in marketing. However, how you market should only consider these in part. The larger consideration is that you are putting your message out in ways that are in sync with who you are and what you value. So take that thought from my show with you today as we leave. I'm going to wish you all well and goodbye now until Monday. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, folks. I really appreciate your being here with me today. I'm Sue Hirsch, your Joyful Wellness Guru on Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye now.